morning. I would like to wish all you dads this morning a blessed Father's Day. Is that humming already? Starting already? That sounds kind of weird to me. No? Maybe I'm just hearing things. But anyway, have a blessed Father's Day to the dads, and we all know the dads play an important role in the lives of their children, and many studies have been done that show the impact of fathers, both the positive and the negative, the negative being when the father's not there or when the father is highly dysfunctional. And as sadly, as the role of the father has become more and more important in our country, it has been eroded and diminished to that of a fool. When you look at TV shows or movies, what they do with the father anymore is really kind of sad. You have to go pretty far back to find any healthy examples. How many of you remember Father Knows Best? Kind of giving our age away a little bit there. About My Three Sons, Leave It to Beaver, Dick Van Dyke Show, The Cosby Show, all healthy family examples. I have a video clip this morning from the Dick Van Dyke Show we're going to look at. I came across. If that's ready, we could pop that up.
Bathing suit?
I don't need a bathing suit.
Well, I don't know. If you're going to live with Stanley, you'll probably spend a lot of time in the water.
Live with me on the shore.
Live with you on the shore? Thought you said you love Stanley.
I do. You and Mommy don't.
Well, we do, Rich. I don't think you do.
I do so. I kiss him on the head every night.
Well, Rich, that isn't all there is to love.
Then why do you kiss me on the head? Don't you love me?
Well, of course I do, Rich. But that isn't all there is to love. If I just kissed you on the head and then did all the things that were bad for you, that wouldn't be love at all.
What would?
What would? That's a pretty big question. Rich, come here and sit down a minute, will you?
I'm not finished packing.
Well, you can finish packing later. It'll just take a minute. Come on. Now, what would be love? Well, Rich, let's just say that one little part of love would be that you think more of what's good for the one you love than you think of what's good for yourself.
I think of what's good for Stanley. I gave him my cornflakes.
Well, yeah, Rich, but we didn't give him something that he wanted a lot more than that.
Like oatmeal cookies?
No, Rich. His freedom. Rich, the duck doctor said that that's why he was sick. And maybe that's why Oliver died.
We made Oliver die?
Well, could be. See, Rich, we were having so much fun with Oliver, we never stopped to think that maybe he'd have more fun if he was in a pond with other ducks.
But we loved him.
Well, yes, Rich, but that was a selfish love. Maybe we loved Oliver to death.
Can you do that?
Well, Rich, you love your goldfish, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you wouldn't take one out of the tank and hug him and kiss him and make him sleep on a pillow beside you just because you loved him, would you?
No.
Well, why not?
He'd die.
That's right, Rich. And what kind of love would that be?
Selfish love.
That's right, Rich. And it's very selfish for us to make Stanley stay in that kitchen sink when he'd much rather be in the park with his friends. Now, ducks love ducks more than they do people. And it's right for people to love people a lot more than they do ducks. And Mommy and I love you much, much more than we could ever love a duck. And I guess that's why Mom and I'd be very, very hurt if you went away and lived with Stanley.
Daddy.
What?
Would Stanley really die if we brought him back home?
Well, Richie, the point is that even if he lived, he'd be much happier where he is now.
don't get those kind of examples any longer in TV shows, but that was very interesting. And healthy households with healthy fathers use life events as a life lesson. And that's kind of what he was doing there, taking this life event, making a life lesson out of it. And we can bring the lights back up when you get a minute there, please, guys. And the purpose in using those events to have a life lesson is to cause us to grow, to cause us to have growth. And if we're not taught, we won't grow. And if we're not taught, we won't reach our potential to what will eventually happen and what we're caused to do. And I think a struggle for most dads, most fathers, is trying to accomplish that, trying to understand, how do we do that? Where do we go with that? Now, we have an example, and we have our Heavenly Father. John, when you get a minute, pull the lights back up, please, so I can see what I'm reading up here. We do have our Heavenly Father shows us, and he shows us by his word and by his example. We see many places and opportunities that God teaches us, really the heart of a father, the heart of a loving father. So while this is Father's Day, I thought I'd look at an example of our Heavenly Father that would show us how he uses an example, how he would use us certain situations with somebody. He did somebody else certain situations to help us to grow. And our Father God is always causing growth in us, looking to cause growth in us, looking to have us move forward, looking to help us reach our potential. And through Christ, through the finished work of Christ, he has placed a seed of potential in us. And it's really a joint venture in our lives between ourselves and the Father in Christ that will cause us to grow, to cause that potential. But if we're not careful, we may never reach our potential. So for one such example, turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 17. Head on over to Genesis 17. We'll look at a little example here this morning. We'll pick this up in 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. What's interesting here is God is speaking to Abraham, something that he promised to accomplish, but hadn't accomplished yet. But he said it as if it already happened. He said, I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And in verse 5, he says, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, in these few short verses, we see Abram changed Abraham. Now, if we talk about Abraham, we all recognize Abraham. We know the name Abraham. Even the New Testament acknowledges Abraham as his great faith and as the father of faith. And we see Abraham we understand Abraham. We do not know nor often recognize Abram. If I told you I was going to talk to you about Abram this morning, you would probably have to stop and think for a moment. Abram, who's Abram? Oh, yeah, Abraham. See, we always think of Abraham because that's how we know him. But 17:1 tells us that Abraham was Abram for 99 years before he was ever Abraham. So for Abraham, his life of 99 years, everybody knew him as Abram. All his family, all his friends, all of his associates, all his community knew him as Abram. So why change? I mean, if you were talking to some of his neighbors or some associates and you said Abraham, they'd probably say, who? You know, Abraham. Who? Who are you talking about? Oh, Abram. See, they saw him and knew him as Abram. Well, you know, it's like, why would God change his name all of a sudden? I mean, his name worked for 99 years. What was the point of changing his name? But God thought it was important. God thought it was very important. And in that, we'll see a lesson this morning that God used, I believe, as a life lesson. All the time he was walking around as Abram, he was not fulfilling the potential that God had placed in him and God, in fact, had promised to him. In all of our lives this morning, God has placed a God-given potential in you. And so the question for us this morning, are we fulfilling that potential? Are we moving in that direction, or are we stuck in this place in our life where we're not moving forward? Do you ever feel stuck? I've had many people come to me and say over the years, I just feel stuck. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. And they may not even mean spiritually. They may mean emotionally, but they're just stuck. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get stuck in a place in our life that God doesn't want us. He wants us to go through that place and come above that and grow from that. So while Abraham was Abram, he had yet to fulfill his potential that God had placed in him. And I believe if you look at the story, you would understand at this point, he had given up on fulfilling that potential. He had given up on God's promises. And you wonder why I say that, why I think that. You'll see that in a minute. But as Abraham, as I said, he was only the seed of the promise, if you would. He was not all he was supposed to become. And as long as he stayed in that Abram mode, that's where he was staying, and he wasn't moving forward. God wanted more for Abraham. God wanted Abram to understand that he had to move forward, had to go past that, and God had more potential for him. So we had, as I said a moment ago, we ask ourselves, where are we at? Are we stuck? Are we moving forward? Are we doing well with where we're at? What's happening with it? Because God doesn't want you stuck. God doesn't want you stuck in a mode that you're in. God wants you to move forward in all that you need to do in your life. So Jesus, when you want to think about it this way, God has placed in you a seed of potential, a seed of growth. He placed in you through the birth of Christ, through the death and resurrection of Christ, your new birth. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And we know within that you have phenomenal potential. And Jesus talked about your potential as a seed in the same press, in the same sense of direction. When Jesus, speaking of the death and resurrection, he said it would produce in you what would happen. Listen to me out of John chapter 12. Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, several different translations, they talk about a grain. Some say corn of wheat, some say kernel of wheat. The whole idea of the root word means seed. Within you is a seed. Unless that seed dies, and it won't become what it's supposed to become. There was this beautiful summertime. We look outside, and there's trees, there's green, there's vegetation, there's plants. We love this time of year because of all the beauty that's out there. But everything we see, everything we understand to be beautiful and true in this area of Ohio this time of year started as a seed, didn't it? Even the most beautiful tree we could have out there, the largest tree you could imagine, started as a seed. And if it had remained a seed, if it stayed in that seed area, it was not planted, was not nurtured, it did not grow, it would still be a seed, wouldn't it? And so God has placed within you the seed of potential. And it's up to us to understand, is it going to grow? Or will it always remain a seed? It's like we could go down to the store, we could buy a whole package of seeds, and we either replant them or we put them in a drawer. If you leave them in the drawer, you could pull them out 40 years from now. What would they be? A package of old dried up seeds. And so that's what God's trying to say here. So, you know, you might wonder this morning, where are you going with this? Why did God change Abram's name? Well, how does this all relate to it? Because when Abraham, rather, was Abram, he was stuck in that seed mode, if you will. He wasn't moving forward. He wasn't doing what God had promised him. He wasn't stepping out in what God had shown he was going to do. He was full of God's potential, but God needed to get him into the faith mode, start growing. For 99 years, he was Abram. And Abram means the father is exalted. And it means Abram was exalted. And in fact, Abram was exalted. He did very well. He was very wealthy. He had acquired quite a bit. He did very well. And so his name meant Abram was exalted. The father was exalted. Yet the focus was on Abraham, or Abram in this case, because he was the one that was exalted. Abraham means the father of a multitude of nations. And so what God was doing with Abraham is saying, I'm taking you out of this mode where it's all about you. I'm taking you out of this mode where all you're stuck in this mode about Abram, and I'm taking you into a place where you're going to be a father of many nations with other people involved, and only I can accomplish that. So God now became the focus of the promise of what's going to happen. When God changed his name, was Abraham yet a father of many nations? No, he wasn't. And yet God called him. Those things that be not, the Bible talks about even Abraham, those that be not as they were, God said, you are already the father of many nations. I'm going to change your name so you begin to see that. the focus begins to come upon the growth and the potential of what God wanted. It wasn't all about Abram. It was all about what God wanted accomplished in Abram for God's purposes. And we need to understand that. And our life is not all about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about community. It's about the Father. It's about what God wants in our lives. And if we live our life, walking through life, all about us, all about what we want, we won't focus on God, and we will never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, and we'll never move forward, and we'll stay in that seed mode. The Bible says that unless a seed falls to the ground, it dies. It remains alone. It remains a seed. And here's the good news. It's not too late. I don't care where you're at in your walk. I don't care where you're at in your life. It's not too late to start accomplishing the potential of what God wants you to do. And even if you're doing well this morning, it doesn't mean that you've reached your potential, does it? Even if you're doing well in the Lord, you feel like I've grown, I'm doing so much better, I'm doing so much stronger than what I was, God has more potential for you. You'll never quite reach the total of what He wants this side of heaven. So we can always grow. But Abram was 99 years old when he became Abraham. And Sarah, who was Sarah at the time, was 90. No spring chicken, amen? So it's not too late for us to move forward. But why did God change Abram's name? Because he was stuck. He was stuck in that mode. God wanted to stir him up. And why did Abraham get stuck? Probably because he stopped saying those things that God had promised him. Start confessing those things. Stop living towards the truth of what God had promised him. For about 24 years, Abraham and Sarai lived knowing what God had said about their son, their promised son. For 24 years before this, God had promised them, and they weren't very young back then either, and God had promised them a son. God had promised him he'd be the father of many nations, but nothing happened. 24 long years. You ever feel like, you know, God has promised you something in your life, and it's just not coming to pass? You ever wonder when God's going to finally move in this situation in your life, when God's going to do something? These folks lived 24 years. And in this life lesson, we find that they made some mistakes with it. And we find out that we can do the same thing. I suspect at this point in time, Abraham and Sarai had stopped talking about the promises of God. Maybe felt foolish about it, didn't share it with anybody, didn't witness with anybody about it. Stopped confessing God's promise in their life. Stopped speaking the seed of growth of God's word in their lives. And we have proof in a sense that that happened because they did what we would do so many times in our life is they began to take the situation into their own hands. God promised them something. They looked forward to it. They wanted it. They always wanted a son. Here was the promised son that was going to come, and it wasn't happening. So what do? They take the situation in their own hands. Sarai allows her handmaiden to go in with Abram, and they produce a son, Ishmael. Not God's promise, not God's direction, but isn't that taking into things in their own hands? And if you look at Ishmael and Ishmaelites, they really are, for the most part, the Arab people of today. And look at the contention that is between the Jewish people and the Arab people and all this struggle in the world today. All came from the beginning of that, of taking something into their own hands. How often are we guilty of that? How often do we see a promise or something we really want and we're believing God for it and it just seems like it's coming to pass, it's not happening, we're just struggling with it, and we're going to start getting there and start meddling and messing around with it. You know, hopefully not to the extent that Abram and Sarah did, you know, but that's just a good example of that. And patience causes us to take matters into our own hands. Refusing to die to self causes a mess, and that's really what it comes down to. Abraham and Sarah refused, in a sense, to die to self. They said, we're going to have this son one way or another. We're going to accomplish these things in our life because that's what we want, rather than what God really wanted and being patient and trusting him for it. So one day God brought Abraham back to the practice that would help Abraham fulfill God's promise in him. He changed his name. Every time Abraham spoke his name, somebody heard his new name, and he spoke God's promise. Every time he said Abraham, he said, I am the father of many nations. He was constantly reminded of God's promise to him. He was constantly confessing God's promise. He could have stayed Abram. He could have stayed Abram. Worked for 99 years. And yet you see from this point forward, he's always referred to as Abraham. Somebody called him on the streets. Can you imagine knowing somebody for a good part of the 99 years and all of a sudden they change their name? And now you got to start calling some different. And I suspect, and I don't want to add to the word of God here, somebody might have saw him on the street and said, hey, Abram, no, please call me Abraham. Why? Because he began to see, he began to understand that there was a promise and a potential that he had to grow to, and it was important to follow that. He daily spoke God's promise to him every time he heard his name, every time he spoke his name. I am the father of many nations. That's God's promise. So instead of being stuck in the seed mode, he started planting seeds of faith in his life, believing patiently that he would see a harvest. And so what happens in our lives? We get stuck in this Abram mode, so to speak. We get stuck in where we're at. We're just kind of floating along, and maybe we're becoming disillusioned. Maybe we're not believing God for the things that we used to believe him for. Maybe we're feeling a little discouraged. Maybe we feel like we've become stagnant in our lives. And we stop speaking by faith the things that God has promised us. We stop speaking into our lives the things that are important to us. We stop saying those things that God promises over and over. We stop confessing the word over our lives and our circumstances. And we start confessing our circumstances. And so you look at why God changed his name. He needed Abraham to get moving in the faith situation, to really believe God for what he was promised. And in Abraham's situation and in Sarah's situation, when they were Abraham and Sarai, even though God had promised that to them, God was the only one that could ever accomplish it in their lives, isn't he? Nobody else could accomplish that. He was 99 years old at this point. There's no way he could accomplish that on his own. And he, even though God was the only one, he still had to speak in faith. He still had to be part of that process, even as we are in our life. The Bible says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a seed. Jesus spoke that of his crucifixion. By his dying, he produced new life in each of us. By his willing to die, we became born again, didn't we? We have new life. That whole principle through it. Seed dies to grow. What's true in the natural world is true in the spiritual world as well. When we die to self, selfish desires, selfish ambitions, we begin to embrace God's will, we begin to truly live. And so often in our lives, if we look at why we're stuck, if we really look at why we're stuck, we begin to understand we're stuck because we're insisting on something our way. We're staying where we're at, we're demanding what we want, and we're pushing forward until God produces it, if we're not careful. Rather than saying, Father, not my will, but your will, what do you really want in my life? And if you've promised me something, what do I need to accomplish it? What do I need to change? And maybe nothing. Maybe you just need to stay there and be patient until God fulfills it in your life. Maybe you need to change something in life. But the one thing you should always do is confess that over your life. Speak that into your life and speak the truth into your life. That seed of potential in your life that God has placed in you through the death and resurrection of Christ and through your salvation needs to be watered, need to be nurtured, watered by the word of God, nurtured by the truth of the word of God. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said what? The sower sows the word. And you think to yourself, you got this whole principle about the sower sowing the word, and it grows and it produces 30, 60, 100 fold. But how does he sow the word? He sows it by speaking it. It's a parable of truth to see this within you. You speak the word, you sow the word, and it grows in your life. Same biblical principle. The sower, the preacher, works when you speak God's word. Whether you're a preacher as myself or whether you're an individual in your life, it doesn't stop you from that principle of sowing God's word into your life. Sowing the promises of God's word in your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Do you get that scripture? Death and life. Is there a greater contrast in all the world? Death and life. And it literally says that the greatest contrast in all of the world, death and life, is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? Those things that you're speaking in your life, that's the fruit it's going to produce. What do you love? Do you love criticizing? Do you love complaining? Do you love murmuring? Do you love just kind of kicking the dust and just not feeling good? Is that what you're spending your life on? Because that's the fruit that you'll eat. Death and life and the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Are you speaking life? Are you speaking the truth of the Word of God? Regardless of your circumstances, it doesn't matter where you're at. God has promises in your life. He will cause them to come to fruition. I can imagine when Abraham and Sarah was Sarai, and 24 years prior to this, when God promised them that, they were excited about it. They always wanted a son. 24 years. Hey, listen, and this wasn't even the society of microwaves and you know, instant TV, what we have now, or all the things we have instant in our life. You know, we get aggravated when our internet connection is slow. I mean, we want things now. You know? They were at least used to waiting a little more than we were. But 24 years? That's a long time. What are you speaking? Are you saying things like, my mate doesn't understand me? My children don't understand me? My children are never going to get it? Change that. My mate doesn't understand. Maybe your mate does not understand you. What if you said, thank you, Father, that you're giving my mate wisdom and discernment? Thank you, Lord, that they do understand. Thank you, Lord, that I find better ways of communicating what I'm feeling. Thank you that our relationship is full of life and truth and wisdom and discernment and understanding and compassion and forgiveness. Because so often we walk around, they just don't get me. We get all upset about the stupidest little things. And with us, the things we're speaking in our lives. What are you speaking? Are you subconsciously speaking or verbally speaking those things that others have said about you that they shouldn't have? Maybe your parents, maybe your teachers. Something said something in your life years ago. You're still struggling with that. You believe it yourself. I think I've given this example in years past, but I know an individual that since he was a baby, all his life, I knew him well through a family situation. His father always told him, you're a dummy, you're no good, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. He's older now, the guy's in his 40s or so, he's stupid. He never amounted to anything. He's been in trouble in and out of his life. He doesn't function well in society. He struggles in life. He gets in and out of trouble. He gets in and out of jobs. He is just nothing. He's difficult to be around. Why? His father spoke that into his life, unfortunately. And while he spoke that into his life, this young man believed it. Now as an older man, he still believes it. That's all he knows how to live. What a tragedy. Is there one of us in this room that somebody hasn't said something to us that they should not have? And yet it clung to us. It stuck to us. It troubled us. And we listened to it. Maybe you're agreeing with what an employer said to you about a long time ago, or your mate. Funny thing about that, do you ever know something? God never says those things about you. God never speaks those things about you. He says you're his child. You never pick up the Word of God and you never see, what an idiot. What are you reading this for? It's like it was a true story. I read it years ago, but it was either somebody I knew that this happened to, their brother or something, but it was a true story where this guy had a computer problem. Way back when we first got computers, I have all kinds of problems, and he's having all these struggles, and he calls into the computer help desk. And he's talking to them, and they tell him, they give him all this thing, try this, do this, do that. And they finally said, there's only one cure for this. And they said, what's that? Take the computer, box it up, and take it back to the store. And the fellow that had the computer says, is it really that bad? And the help desk goes, yeah, you're too stupid to own a computer. Take the thing back. Can you imagine somebody saying that to you? You never hear God speak those things about your life. You never open the Word of God and say, why are you reading this? You're not ever going to get it. What are you saying this for? What's this not for you? You see nothing but God's promises to you as if it was spoken to you personally because it was. God says, you're my child. Even when you've messed up. Even when you've struggled. And some of us, somebody messes up, we say, what's the matter with you? They mess up again. They go, why do you keep doing that? They mess up again. They say, you're pathetic. They mess up again. You say, we're done with you. We don't want this anymore in our life. God never says that about you. He never gives up on you. He never says you're done. When Abram was messing up, God says, I'm going to change your name. I'm changing your confession. God says, I'm going to come into your life and I'm going to cause you to grow. I'm going to cause you to move forward. Because your Heavenly Father, as we celebrate Father's Day today, as your Heavenly Father loves you, he wants potential in your life. He wants to take a circumstance. You notice when you watch that Dick Van Dyke segment, I was watching it and I was thinking, he's allowing this young child to do exactly what he thinks he's going to do as he works him through it. He said to him, he said, come on, sit down on the bed. And the little boy says, I'm not done packing. And he said, that's okay, you can pack later. This will only take a minute. You see what I'm saying with that? He's like, you're not moving out. You're not going anywhere. Come sit down. He allowed him. Doesn't that God do that in our lives? Gently, patiently. Say, come here. I want to talk to you. I want to speak the truth into your life. God says to you, you're mine. You're my child. He says you are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. He says you're the head and not the tail. He says you have the mind of Christ. He says you're above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. He said, I have great things in plan for you. All I'm asking is you start speaking those things into your life that I have promised you. You start believing the word of God, just trusting him, he will cause it to come to pass. Let's stand together this morning. In Romans, speaking Abraham, God says he calls those things that do not exist as though they did. That's exactly what he did with Abraham. He said, you are a father of many nations. What doesn't exist in your life right now? What are you believing God for? As we go back into worship, allow God to speak to your heart. Maybe just one thing that you need to start speaking, you need to start changing to move forward to that potential. Let's worship God. Use analogies, valleys, mountaintops. Sometimes our life feels like we're in a valley. Sometimes we feel like we're on a mountaintop, sometimes we're in between. Reality is this, you are going to go through some ups and downs. But God has promises for you. He says you don't belong there permanently. He's got direction for you. He's got promise for you. He wants you to walk in truth and in love with your head held high, knowing that regardless of where you find yourself, He has a future for you. He has a plan for you. He has a promise for your life. Amen? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that, you know, we have a river of life flowing out of us through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Father, that we can live and grow and move forward. We don't have to stay stuck in our lives. Maybe all we need to do is start believing you a little stronger. Start speaking those things in our life that be not as though they were, as long as they're in line with your word and your will. Teach us your word and your will, Father. Help us to embrace it and speak in our lives, whatever the circumstance may be. We give you the praise and the honor. Father, as your people go, may your angels encamp about them and protect them and keep them in all their ways and all that they do. May your joy flood their households. May your provision be in their hands. And may they know you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week. If you need prayer, feel free to come forward. And would you call me, Russ? Do you want to say?